face in my league. Got a blockbuster on my way and a pickup up my sleeve. They call my team insane, say I'm the one to beat. So you better bring your A game and start playing, cause every single week another win for me.
Yo, commissioner, you can just pay me now. City win first place, then take a bow. Finish on top, I'ma set the standard. Don't believe me, you could check the standings. When I draft, I make smart selections. Got more sleepers than a narcoleptic. Meet your match, kid, my lineup's nasty. It's far-fetched, thinking you might catch me. No surprise, I'm taking home the prize. Only time I rest is a playoff bye.
Welcome to another episode of the Great Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I'm Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst over at friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Got another fantastic show for you today. I'm going to be joined by Mike Gianella of Baseball Perspectives and Tom Pringle of Bat Flips and Nerds. Two very different guys with very different feet in the fantasy baseball / baseball field. Mike Gianella works over at BP, has been a very, very successful fantasy analyst, has won Tout Wars and Labor, won them both actually in the same year, which is something that is very, very difficult to do and very uncommon. Tom Pringle runs Bat Flips and Nerds, a blog and website, as well as a podcast from a British baseball fans' perspective, and both are very, very funny guys. Fantastic follows on Twitter. Two of my favorite people to interact with on Twitter. So I hope you enjoy what we have in store for you today. First up is Mike Gianella from Baseball Perspectives. Joining me right now is Mike Gianella from Baseball Perspectives. Mike, welcome to the show.
Hey, Justin. Thanks for having me on.
It feels like it's been forever since I last talked to you.
It has been a while, yeah. I have not been on your many podcasts for, you know, forever.
This is obviously a little bit of an inside joke because we literally just recorded the Friends of Fantasy Benefits podcast about 30 seconds ago. So.
Yeah, I did do the Tout Wars podcast with you and Laura like a month ago too. So
you're one of my favorite people to talk to in the industry. So I'm always grateful to have you on and talk to you. Why don't you let people know where you can reach on social media and then kind of give people. We'll get into your profile in a little bit. So, but let people know where that you could reach on social media.
It's Mike Gianella, all one word, Gianella on Twitter, and that's pretty much it. I don't really do Facebook or Instagram or any of those other mediums.
Yeah, I'm trying those other mediums. They're not going very well. How is your team doing in the Great Fantasy Baseball Invitational right now?
I'm in sixth place, which, you know, it's a 15-team league, so it's not the end of the world, but it is discouraging because about a month ago I was like in first, second place, got off to a really hot start, and then the injuries hit. So I've got Mookie Betts and Josh Donaldson. They were my like first and second round picks. And, you know, while Donaldson certainly hasn't been great this year, when both your, you know, when your top two picks are on the DL, that stinks.
Yeah, that can be kind of detrimental to kind of keeping it going. You have had some pretty nice performances though by guys like Sean Newcomb. Kyle Hendricks has been very good once again this year. So still holding it down on the pitching side, and you still banked a lot of those stats from Mookie Betts, who's been on an MVP caliber season. And you got some guys who could be turning it around here any day, and in Michael Conforto, Billy Hamilton, guys like that as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a lot of what it comes down to is, you know, you don't need every player in a 15-team league to be a stud. And I think people who play in like shallower leagues look at a league like this and laugh at guys on the back end. Like a Josh Harrison is a good example. He's on my team. And outside of the injury, he's actually been fine. Like if he's your worst player in a format like this, you're doing pretty well. But I do need like Billy Hamilton to actually like be Billy Hamilton and like get on a 50 steal pace. And, you know, he's just not doing that.
Yeah, he's been a little bit frustrating for me to own as well. So I totally understand those feelings. Have you been enjoying the format?
Yeah, I mean, I like the league. I kind of enjoy. I mean, one thing I really enjoy is, you know, going out to who is it who does the tableau? I'm really sorry, I'm blanking on the
Smata.
Information. Smata, yeah. So Smata puts out like a tableau sheet where you can follow not just the league you're in, but all of the leagues and how you're doing in comparison. And that's really great. Like that's a lot of fun to look at. Like that's the aspect of this league I enjoy the most. I like that it's a league of leagues and it's this big competition. I mean, it doesn't mean I don't like the other like 8 or 9 leagues I'm in, but it does add a wrinkle that you don't have, you know, in another league where you're just playing for the title in that league. And honestly, another thing I like about it too is I think my odds have decreased that I'm going to win that overall prize, but because of the one league format, you know, I'm 16 points out in the league I'm in. I'd say I still have a chance, even if it's not a great chance.
Yeah, I have no shot of winning anything in either of my league or the format at this point.
Well, that kind of sucks.
Yeah. So it's don't get me wrong, I've been enjoying the format just because it's so cool to see how much everybody else is enjoying the format. But it's like when you have once you become a parent and you have kids and stuff, you no longer enjoy things for yourself. You just enjoy it for your children.
Well, the other thing, too, is, you know, and I know you've been at expert leagues, what now, like 3-4 years? I forget how long. Like when you're in an expert league, and especially when you're like kind of newish to it, you just hate, I mean, you always hate losing anyway, but you hate being like in the bottom third of a league, for example, because you feel like, man, you know what? I know there's people out there like looking at me and laughing at me, or if not laughing at you, at least they're like judging you. And you're not supposed to worry about it. I think the other experts are nicer than like the regular guys who will look at you. But there's something to that. Like you don't want to get your ass kicked in one of these leagues. Like you just know that there's going to be like an eye cast towards you, like you did something wrong. When honestly, more often than not, it's just bad luck.
Yeah, and I mean, at the end of the day, like there are some people in the industry that have told me, well, you know, if I don't win, I don't care if I finish second or last. It's all the same to me. And I don't know. For me, I call a little bit of bullshit on that. Like, I definitely do not want to finish last, especially in something like this.
Yeah.
When you're ranked against 194 other people.
Yeah, I mean, there's a difference between, like, finishing, I'd say, like, second and eighth, maybe there's no difference, but I hate finishing last. Mm-hmm. Like, I do not want to finish last in a league and get my ass kicked, like, without a doubt.
Any issues with your league?
No, I mean, my league's been okay. I would say that, you know, it's kind of like a lot of expert leagues where there's not as much talk as in a league that's been established because, you know, it's year one of a league. Like I know some of the people in this league. Like I know Joe Pizzapia, you know, he's a good guy. And, you know, I know a couple other people from Twitter, but there's also a lot of people I don't know. So, you know, what winds up happening is there isn't as much flow with trade offers, for example. I don't know if you've made any trades. Like, I haven't made any trades in this league, and there's certainly been some offers and some back and forth. But I think because we don't know tendencies, or at least I don't know tendencies, it's kind of hard to get a feel for an offer and think, you know, is this guy's starting point, or is this kind of his best and final? And then when I've made the counters, which I've always tried to do, you know, I haven't really had much traction with those counters. So I wouldn't call that an issue. And I think that's fairly typical of any league that's like a first-year league.
Yeah, I think I haven't really had a lot of conversations with people in terms of trades. I haven't had a strength to trade from, unfortunately. And I almost wonder, too, if people would be less inclined to trade with me. Because I know, like, in my home leagues and things like that, people are less inclined to trade with me now because they're afraid they might hear me talk about it on a podcast, or, you know, or write an article about it and things like that. And, you know, I don't trash people in my leagues or anything like that. But, you know, you never, and I think in industry leagues in general, you see a lot less trading because people don't want to be known as the guy that lost a trade.
Yeah, there's a lot to that. And the other thing I noticed, and I was going to write something about this week, is I do wonder like what format some of these other experts play in, because some of the offers I see are trades where the throw-in is worthless, meaning, you know, they'll offer you a 2-for-1 and they'll clearly offer you the inferior player. And they'll offer a throw-in, and, you know, I'll give an example. I got an offer earlier this year for Donaldson before he was hurt, which was like Johnny Cueto at the height of his value and Joe Mauer for Josh Donaldson. And in an only league, obviously you can't make the only league as Cueto, but in an only league, you might look at that like, well, Mauer is an upgrade on nothing because, you know, mm-hmm. I probably have like a schlub you know, somewhere, or I should say Cueto's an upgrade on nothing, and I'm getting Mauer for Donaldson as opposed to, like, you know, nothing. But in a mixed league, like, Mauer's kind of replacement level, like, even in a 15-team mix, and it's, like, really the trade's Cueto for Donaldson. And, like, I think that's kind of a problem, too, and I don't think it's people trying to rip you off. I think it's the fact that we move between so many different formats and styles of play and head-to-head versus Roto, and it just makes it difficult when you kind of have this format, which, you know, I'm used to, but I think for some of the experts, you know, they might not be as accustomed to Roto as we are.
Mm-hmm. And that may get fixed as I am debating doing a head-to-head version next year. So splitting up into two different individual competitions, one Roto and one head-to-head. So, and there's been some support for that from some of the industry guys who mainly specialize in the head-to-head points format.
Yeah, that could definitely be fun.
Let's talk more about you. When did you start following baseball and start playing fantasy baseball?
Well, I started following baseball as a kid. So I might have shared with you before. My dad's Argentine, and he had no interest in, like, sports. But I got into baseball at a very early age, and I kind of begged him to take me to a game, and I begged him to take me a game. And I grew up in northern New Jersey, and I kind of joke, like, you know, had he emigrated to Queens. So he took me to a Mets game because he knew the area. Like, had he emigrated to the Bronx, I might be a Yankee fan now. And I kind of went from liking baseball to loving baseball when I saw a game at Shea, you know, way back when. And fantasy, I started playing in high school, but it probably wasn't until my mid-20s where I got really serious. I got into a serious league. You know, it was just a home league, but it was with some pretty, like, you know, hard-hitting people, of serious players, players who were clearly into it, knew their stuff. And, you know, from there, I wound up, like, on kind of the message boards back in the late 90s. I subbed in labor in 2003, but I didn't permanently get into it at that point. And I decided in 2006 to kind of do the equivalent of podcasting back then, which was to start a blog. And the blog eventually got me enough attention that I got invited to Tout Wars in 2010. And, you know, from there, you know, I did Tout Wars for a while. I did pretty well for, like, a couple years. And Baseball Prospectus hired me in 2013, and I've been there ever since.
Wow. That's interesting that you, like, I grew up with a father, too, who couldn't have cared less about baseball. And therefore, I didn't actually get into baseball until I started playing fantasy back in high school.
Yeah. No, I love regular baseball first, but I also played, like, I played a lot of Strat-O-Matic and like, tabletop games. Mm. And, you know, when I stumbled into the fantasy game, like, at a bookstore, there was, like one of the old school, like, rotisserie league books. And I picked it up, and instantly I was like, oh my God, like, this is, like, amazing. Like, I have to figure out how to do this. And the league I was in high school, like, it, you know, it was, like, total BS. Like it was like a 6 or 8 team league. Like, it was really small, and half the people in the league didn't know what they were doing. And, you know, pretty much the people at the top of the league were just taking money from people at the bottom of the league. But in terms of the format, in terms of, like, watching the games and just being, oh my God, like, this guy's on my team, and, you know, he's doing this thing, and it's so, like, satisfying. It just offered this jolt that, like, real baseball still offers, but, like, just in a different way.
You talked about your work at BP. You've worked your way up and now are, what I believe, the lead expert over at BP for fantasy?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, Brett Sayre is there, and, you know, Zach Steinhorn is our editor, and he came over from MLB, and he certainly, you know, has his chops as well. But, like, Zach's in an editorial role, and Brett's kind of moved up to it more of a general managerial role. So that's probably, like, even though they might be, they're above me on the food chain, but in terms of writing, that's probably a correct way to put it.
All right. Among other things, you do a lot of, you do valuations at BP. Talk about your process for doing them.
Well, it's an old school, like, SGP kind of valuations, which I know Rob Silver does as well. You know, and I know there's some experts, you know, Todd Zola of Creative Sports and ESPN, most notably, has kind of spoken out against that methodology and is more, like, into Z-scores, which uses, like, deviations. So what I'm doing more is I'm looking at a draft pool or population, and I'm comparing how hitters do relative to that population. So what I'm really looking for there is, you know, if you just plugged a player in like to an average draft roster, how would he do? It's a variation of like what Alex Patton, who was one of the original like valuation pricing gurus, used to do. And it's fairly similar to his valuations with a couple wrinkles. You know, what I'd say about what Todd and others do, those valuations are probably theoretically more correct in terms of end of season and what you're looking at. But in terms of trying to plug values into a draft pool, I think what I'm doing and what Alex has done and what Rob is doing is a little bit more understandable and has a little more ease of use.
Do your valuations, do your process for your valuations differ from preseason to in-season to postseason?
It's pretty much the same. It changes a little bit because what winds up happening in April, because it's based off a draft population, is you do get some silly numbers really early in the season. Like you'll see a guy like Mookie Betts, for example. Like at one point he was on pace to earn like $60 or $62. Even without the injury, we knew he wasn't going to do that and maintain that kind of pace. But in terms of the methodology, yeah, it's pretty much the same. And I make a couple minor tweaks here and there, but it doesn't change all that much. It's more or less the same process.
Talk a little bit about your writing process, because, I mean, there's a lot of people who write and do valuations and do different things in the industry. But not everybody is a seasoned or good writer necessarily, and I always enjoy reading your stuff just for its flair and clarity. Talk about a little bit what goes into your process just as a writer.
Well, what I try to – well, first of all, thanks. I appreciate the compliment. But what I try to do as a writer is I really try to think about – and one great thing about the blog and starting out that way is I had a very small audience, but it was an audience I really interacted with and engaged with. And a lot of what I was doing there was answering questions. And, you know, not just answering questions like people do on Twitter now, which was like a sentence or two, but like answering them in, you know, like a 400, 500 words at a minimum. And if they were more complicated subjects, I'd really have to dive in. And I kind of knew, like, you know, if I didn't provide a good answer or if I didn't explain it well, that I could wind up writing like 3 or 4 more posts, like going back and forth with the person who asked the question. So that was where I kind of learned. And, you know, to speak to my process, that's definitely what I'm trying to do now, even though the audience I interact with is larger. And unfortunately, I don't have that ability to offer that level of attention. I always try to think, you know, who am I writing for? Like, I'm trying to write it for somebody as if I'm trying to answer a common question or something somebody wants to know. You know, I've said this before about other writing, and there are some great writers out there, but what I often see as a weakness, someone will write a long piece that, you know, might include some metrics and it might include some other information, and they might even be able to explain the information well. But from a fantasy perspective, I often find that there's no takeaway, you know, meaning that there's a lot of data, but as a reader, I'm like, okay, well, how do I apply this to my league? And, you know, if it's not a fantasy article, that's fine. But if you're writing specifically for a fantasy audience, you definitely want to make sure that that takeaway is included.
That is very, very good advice. Do you have any other advice for people who are maybe listening to this and go, I want to try that. I want to be a fantasy writer. What can I do to get into the industry?
Well, I'd say the biggest thing nowadays is you probably want to make sure to get involved, kind of like you've done, Justin, as many mediums as possible. Like when I started doing this, I just had a blog. I kind of hate to say this, but that's probably not enough. You probably need at least the triple threat of a blog, a social media presence, and a podcast. And if you can do video, video is like just such a big piece now as well. You really want to be out there as much as possible, and you want to interact. The other thing I would say, though, that is a less common piece of advice, kind of listen to other people who have been doing this and see how they do it. You know, I see a lot of people try to come out there as experts, and they wind up sounding like know-it-alls. I don't think they're doing it in a way that they're trying to do that, but they're doing it in a way that they think, well, you know, if I sound like I have all the answers, mm-hmm. people are going to see me as an expert, when in reality it's the opposite. They're going to see you as, well, you know, you sound like somebody who's trying to give that impression, but it's easy to see through that. So those are the two biggest pieces of advice I have. Now, it's different for everybody. I think there's some people video would work really well for. I think there's others where they would struggle with that. Like, I'm not really a big fan of putting myself on video. So you do have to find what works for you, you know, as opposed to trying to fit like a one size fits all.
I think that's a really good observation and piece of advice, because one of the things that I've tried to do in a multitude of different organizations that I work for is make myself invaluable. And by doing that, and by being able to offer a whole bunch of different talents, I've made myself a bigger part of the organizations I work for, like FanGraphs and Fantasy Alarm, on top of doing my own stuff for Friends of Fantasy Benefits. Do you have anything new coming down the pike?
Just the usual articles at BP. You know, it's really weird. I'm sure you have some experts on here who do fantasy football. Mm-hmm. I don't even play it. I haven't played in years. So August and September are kind of a nice break for me. I certainly keep writing articles at BP, but up until the annual work, the BP annual, which starts in October, I don't really have a big, you know, thing going on. So just the usual weekly articles at BP for now.
All right. Why don't you remind people where you reach on social media, and then plug all your work?
Again, that's Mike Gianella, Gianella, at Twitter. And at Baseball Prospectus, which I should remind people, you know, most of it is a pay site and is subscription. It's baseballprospectus.com. You can find me and our staff of writers in season. We've got about 10 to 15 articles a week. You have my Fab review, but you also have like the Free Agent Watch. You have the Starting Pitching Planner. There is actually a TGFBI Fab feature as well that's done that, I don't know if you've read it, but it's done very well. So if you are interested in TGFBI, you should come check that out. A lot going on at Baseball Prospectus. I'd be remiss if I didn't plug the Bat Signal, which is a super premium thing that we have, but it's a question answering service. And the nice thing about it compared to Twitter is you can ask a 500-word question about your team and like kind of rattle everything off, and we answer those types of questions. And you know, I know on Twitter a lot of people, me included, say, yeah, I don't want to do that. I don't want to look at your roster. But since it's a premium service at BP, if that's how you want to use it, you can use it that way and nobody will complain. Also, it's secret from your league too, which is another advantage over Twitter. Nobody will see, you know, what you're asking and be like, oh, you know, Justin Mason's trying to trade this guy. You know, he must be worried about his pitching.
You know, and that's one of the things I tell people, like when I'll do a couple kind of like suggestion or strategy pieces and things like that. And one of the things I like to remind people is make sure you are following any of your league mates on social media, whether it be Twitter or Facebook, because there's a chance they're going to be asking questions to industry professionals about your league and potentially about your team. So, you know, it's always good to kind of get a step up on them by following them and then not doing that if they're following you, and being able to use something like the Bat Signal or if you're lucky enough to be in contact with industry people via private message or DM or something like that.
You need to have your Jerry Colangelo burner account if you're going to, you know, ask questions on Twitter and your league mates are on there. I'm in the Philly area, so of course I had to make that reference.
Oh man, that whole saga is just so funny to me.
It's still going on too. I can't believe like it hasn't. I get it on some level. There's some legal ramifications, but I can't believe it's still going on.
I'm so surprised he still has a job. I just really, really am.
Yeah, there's a part of me wondering if they're not trying to negotiate like some kind of buyout with him.
Yeah,
but I have no inside information. Like I don't know.
Well, Mike, thank you for joining me.
Yep. Hey, thanks for having me on, Justin.
Next up is Tom Pringle from Bat Flips and Nerds. Joining me now is Tom Pringle from Bat Flips and Nerds. Tom, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. This is fantastic.
Well, I'm super excited to talk to you. And, you know, we had a little BS section right before we kind of come on. And you are a funny, funny man. And I love your guys' podcast that you do, Bat Flips and Nerds.
I really appreciate that. I don't like the fact that Darius has Peg being someone who's really funny. Now, you've just said it as well. I really don't want to let your listeners down. I'm not that funny. Maybe I'm just British and a bit stupid.
Well, I mean, I think for Americans, you know, the British accent goes a long way.
Well, yeah, it's usually with people like Hugh Grant as well, which is not really a good example. Someone's just dithering at you all the time and getting all the girls.
Well, and I mean, I don't know. I don't know how the general population feels about this. I'm sure there are some people who are upset in America that you guys stole Meghan Markle from us.
I love that people are calling her the future queen and stuff. It's like, it doesn't really work like that. That's not how it works. They're like, no, she is. She's a princess and she will be queen. It's like, no. It's not how it works.
Yeah, no, it's a... I think people are so influenced by movies and things like that maybe they think that's how it works. But no,
yeah.
Meghan Markle, yeah. It doesn't matter what happens. Like, Meghan Markle cannot become Queen of England.
I think there's got to be quite a few deaths or just people just giving it up and walking away before that actually happens.
There would have to be a coup of sorts for a largely ceremonial position.
Like a splinter royal family.
I'm all in favor of this. I mean, no, I'm not. I don't know who's listening on your end.
Oh, they're always listening.
Yeah, I'm sure MI6 is got a you know, an ear to the grindstone for anything bat flips and nerds.
Yeah, I think they're one of our big listeners, to be honest. MI6, I think the FBI are in there as well because they're interested in what we're up to, which is generally gobbing off about the Blue Jays. That's about it, really.
Well, you like I said, you have a podcast called Bat Flips and Nerds. We're going to get into that a little bit more here in a moment, but I first have to mention your Twitter handle, so that way people can go follow you. You're almost you're just a little over 2,200 followers, getting close to 2,300, so you definitely need some more. But at Pedroia's Face is one of my favorite Twitter handles of all time. Where does it come from?
Well, I don't know if you've seen Pedroia when he's doing his at-bat. I feel quite bad now explaining this because, like, I was basically mocking him and I feel really bad. But whenever he has an at-bat, he has this sort of facial twitch where he opens his mouth really wide and low. And it just looks bizarre, and I thought, I'm just going to do it. And do you know what? I initially started off as a bit of a parody account. It was just going to be, you know, Pedroia just coming out with some silly statements. And I thought, no, do you know what? Just make it my main one. That's fine. So, yeah, that's where it's come from, just at Pedroia's Face. I was going to change it recently and go back to my just Tom Pringle, but I think, no, I'm going to stick with it now. I like it.
It's pretty great. I mean, I got to be honest. I don't think you should. I mean, it's hard because you want to, like, brand yourself.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
As you, but at the same time, like, it's a pretty awesome Twitter handle. And
if you
leave it, I may go and steal it.
Well, I'll have to do it on one day where I've got my iPad to change it on that one, my computer to change it from my old one, and then switch it all over. Because I did think that. I thought, well, so if I change it, is someone going to steal it? And I thought, no, nobody's going to search for that. Nobody's going to try and get Pedroia's Face.
No, I'm telling you, it's mine. Or I'll just do what I've done with a lot of... I operate like 6 Twitter handles.
Yeah.
I'm the... I can't pronounce the Sixers GM, but I'm the fantasy baseball version of him. I've got burner accounts everywhere.
What do you do? Do you just go and, like, troll Spoiler and just tell him that his opinions are trash?
Yeah, pretty much. Though there is a guy that popped up today. I don't know... If you listen to the Sleeper in the Bus podcast, but we had a reemergence yesterday of the lawnmower guy or the weed whacker guy.
Oh, okay. So I'm a relative new listener. So who is this bloke then?
Paul lives in an apartment, and they have a maintenance man who likes to only show up on days where we record. And so you can hear him, like, mowing the lawn or weed whacking or something, like, right out. And Paul just gets so angry about it. Like, and I leave it all in because, one, I'm too lazy to edit, and two, I find it extremely hilarious that he gets so mad about this weed whacker guy because he gets, like, right up next to Paul's window. And it's super loud. And so he showed back up today, and some guy has created a Twitter account that's like it's Paul Spohr's landscaper.
And is he just putting things on there like, oh, I've just landscaped someone's lawn outside their window?
Oh man, I love Twitter.
It's fantastic. I love it. It's fantastic. We were just talking beforehand about it as well, and just the amount of crap you can get from people on there, it's just hilarious. Mm-hmm. And how vociferous they are with their opinions. They're so strong with it. And you're like, look, I'm not having a go at you. I've just said that a team or a player is a bit dull. That's, you know, I'm not really that interested in them. And now you're coming at me as if I've just arrived on Christmas Day and crapped all over your dinner table.
Well, and for you, it's got to be really nice because you get to kind of connect with people that you really have no shot of connecting with on a day-to-day basis.
Oh, 100%, and it's brilliant for that. Being able to connect with you guys, being able to connect with... Well, in fact, when we MLB UK came over... Sorry. When MLB came over to the UK to announce the London series, I managed to ask the Commissioner of Baseball a question, which was like, I would never, ever get this opportunity if it wasn't for the podcast, if it wasn't for the website, if it wasn't for us working with MLB UK. I would never have had that chance to sit in front of the Commissioner and ask him a question, which was awesome.
Was it a good question, or did you kind of toe the line?
So the thing is, the press conference, I don't know if you've watched the press conference, but the press conference itself was filled with UK journalists who didn't really have an understanding about baseball. So I had a journalist sat behind me just basically saying, like, how many players are on a team? What side of that white thing do they hit from? Are you allowed to bowl underarm? And there was all these sorts of questions coming from behind me. So I ended up chatting to the guy and explaining to him some basic rules and, you know, field dimensions, things like that. And he said to me, how come you know so much about this? And I was like, because I enjoy the game. Like, if you enjoy cricket, then you'd probably know quite a lot about cricket. But I enjoy baseball. And he asked me as if I was like some sort of, I don't know, oracle that had just come out with all this information, like a live walking, talking Wikipedia. It's like, no, I just enjoy the sport. So that's why I know so much about it. In relative terms, that is, knowing so much about it, as we'll probably get onto in my team later. But like the question I asked the commissioner eventually, sorry, yeah, so the UK press was there. They were all sat around. They're asking questions to like Hal Steinbrenner. They said to him, are you coming over here for a bit of a tax avoidance thing? And it's like, come on, guys, this is horse mud. What are you doing? Why are you asking questions like that? So the mic went around the room and stuff, and eventually they said, any more questions? I looked around, I thought, do you know what? As my co-founder, John McGee, always say, shoot your shot. And I just said, yeah, I've got one. I said, as a Red Sox fan, clearly I'm delighted that the Red Sox are coming over to the UK and playing against the, you know, the most hated rivals in the Yankees. Was there any other consideration of the other 28 teams, them coming over? Was there any deliberation on it? And I'll level with you now, Justin, I blacked out and I had no idea what the commissioner said back to me. I just stared at him and just kept nodding and gently smiling. And I was like, this is crazy. The commissioner of baseball is answering my question. Yeah, and then when that finished, I asked the Lord Mayor, Sadiq Khan of London, I said to him, who's better, Mookie Betts or Mike Trout? To which he initially said that Mookie Betts was a pitcher, but then obviously he remembered back to his brief that was given to him by his staff, and then said that he thought Mookie Betts was doing great for his team, and that was all he said, really.
Yeah, see, I think like that should be your role. You should be interviewing people about and asking them like specific questions. They don't have to necessarily be too hard, but obviously point out the fact they have no idea what the hell they're talking about.
Yeah, it was great to just watch him, and the way he was like talking about Mookie Betts, like, you have no idea who this guy is. but I mean, Hal Steinbrenner was sat there, and John Henry as well, and they were like smirking and nodding as it was all going on. Yeah, it was good. It was an incredible experience. And like I said, that wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for the podcast and the blog and Twitter as a whole, really.
That's really, really awesome. And I'm looking forward to you guys getting a real experience, a real baseball experience in London. So that's going to be really cool.
Yeah, I can't wait for it. The Olympic Stadium is meant to be very good. I've never been there myself, but yeah, everyone I've spoke to said it's easy to get to. We've already had a few Boston Red Sox followers from the US already saying to us that they're going to come over for it, and they can't wait. It's going to be brilliant.
That's awesome. Let's talk a little bit about your invitational team. Let's start with how are you enjoying just the format in general?
I absolutely love the format. It's brilliant. Now that I understand it, I did spend probably about 2 or 3 weeks constantly texting Darius saying, why can't I change players over? What's going on? Like, this daily lineup thing is rubbish. I don't seem to be getting any points. And then Darius explained to me that it was weekly. And then the whole free agency thing, I was putting bids in going, why can't I get the lesson really is I should have read the rules beforehand, yes. which I didn't do. And I think it seems to be a common theme actually, when I listen to your podcast.
You're not the only one. It seems like, you know, if anybody ever gets frustrated by the fact like their league members do not know the rules of their league and try to do things they're not allowed to do, or complain when things don't go the way they're supposed to because we're following the rules. Imagine having to do this for 13 leagues and 194 other people other than me. Keeping in mind, like I did send out a list of rules to everybody prior to them even signing up. And they've stayed in the same spot ever since. So, like, don't get me wrong, it's also a format that people on fan tracks that people aren't necessarily used to playing. At the same time, like, yeah, we're 2 months into the season. You guys got to get this dialed in.
It's brilliant that I'm just thinking back now to the application, because when I saw it come up on Twitter that you're asking for people, I don't know if you remember, but you asked for actually a piece of work, maybe a blog post or something to do with fantasy baseball. Again, I completely ignored that, never even read it. And what I actually sent you was an article about replacing Pablo Sandoval with a traffic cone.
Which I appreciated so much.
And yet you still put me in the league.
Well, we'll get to a little bit more about you and kind of and maybe I'll talk a little bit about why I put you in the league. But, you know, one thing I do appreciate is humor. And that's a fantastic piece that you did. So,
but it was completely unintentional. It was just, again, my laziness, not reading the rules and just sending someone in and then going, oh, I've been picked. That's good.
I'm going to be real honest with you, though. Like, you're not the only person that didn't read the rules in that regard and sent pieces of work or links to things that did not qualify them at all. First of all, Paul Sporer just wrote in that portion, you know me. You know, like, he's like, I'm not lowering myself to your to the level of the other people in this league that, like, you know who I am. I do not need to send you a piece of work. You can find it on your own. But we had one guy who sent a link to, like, all he wrote in that portion was reddit.com. Like, he didn't even, like, put, like, a link to a post he did on Reddit. He just wrote Reddit. And then was super angry when he wasn't involved. I'm like, dude, like you can't expect me to accept you at that point.
Right, you need to go to Reddit and just look at all of Reddit. I wrote all of it. I do everything on there. It's all me.
I didn't know if he was, like, taking credit for it or, like he built Reddit. Like, you know, maybe I missed out on, like, you know, some sort of multimillionaire, like, you know, becoming my friend. But, you know, there has to be a little bit of integrity. I'm not a big fan of, like, you know, large amounts of integrity, but a little bit of integrity within the league.
Yeah, that's good. I like it.
How is your team doing in the Invitational?
I am distinctly average. My hitting's pretty good. My pitching is pretty terrible. I think I posted a while back a picture where you a screenshot on Twitter where you were bottom of the league and I was third from bottom. And I was like, yes, this is my defining moment. These people literally get paid for this, and I am beating them. I am beating people that do this almost for a living. I'm now 10th in the league. I'm 6th in hitting and 13th in pitching. So yeah, the hitting's going okay. That's not really a problem. I think I've scored quite big on a few waiver wire pickups. But I think, if I look back at the draft, what did I do? I picked 4 Padres players. So it just shows how stupid I was during the draft as well. And clearly I picked your absolute favourite, Dansby Swanson, last. So that was good. But yeah, pitching wise, I think I traded for Middleton and also got Inciarte in that deal as well, which is quite good. I traded for Middleton, and then Middleton obviously went onto the DL. I've got I'm terrible at this and names.
No, it's okay. You've got Ross. You've added Ross Stripling recently, who's been very good. You already had DeGrom and Hendricks, who have been fantastic once again this year. Fernando Romero was great until that one start.
Yeah.
You've had a little bit of bad luck. You've had, some successes. But overall, you're not doing too poorly, especially when you're facing off against a lot of people who, like you said, do this somewhat professionally.
Mm, yeah. And the thing is, like I said to Darius as well, when I was down the bottom, I was like, do you know what? I'm just going to take a punt on some guys. And that's why I picked up Zach Eflin. I ended up picking up Clay Buchholz as well more recently. Mm-hmm. It's just a case of trying to ride on those guys. But then the problem is, whenever I listen to your podcasts and sleep on the bus, things like that, I'm just like, yeah, you keep saying get these guys and then move them on, but I just can't. I've just got to hold on to them for that one more start, that one more week, and I can't get rid of them. And then it's all too late when the wheels fall off. And then I'm trying to trade Sonny Gray for anything, and then I just have to release him completely.
Well, and see, I'm the exact same way. Like, it's, you know, I give the good advice, but I have a really hard time following it because I'm one of those people, like, I just don't, like, I do a lot of work coming into a season, and I believe very strongly about certain guys. And so when it doesn't pan out well, Zach Godley, I have a really hard time letting go and not believing that he's going to figure it out at some point, because I've got a long history of, like, getting rid of a guy, and then Scooter Gennett all of a sudden turns into a really good player.
Yeah, exactly. And I also have a problem actually reading the Fantrax reports. So I end up paying 97 for Dan Winkler because I thought he was taking over the saves, but he said in his report he may be taking over the saves. I was like, oh, great. Didn't even read it. So in true Pringle style, just laziness, trying to muddle my way through it. But it's good, though, for me, especially the fact that it's weekly lineup, just going back to that, because I am such a meddler, and I'll be shifting people around when I don't need to. I'll be looking at extra stats when I don't need to, and it's great that you lock it in, and that's it. I just have to leave it alone. I can't do anything about it. That week's happening now. It's just that Sunday night, Monday morning, when I start panicking about what I'm going to do this week.
Well, in a weekly lineup's got to be easier for you, considering the time zone difference.
Yeah, as we were discussing before, maybe not purely because of this, but I've ended up losing quite a few daily lineup games purely because the lineups change overnight and I can't do anything about it because I'm fast asleep. I'm not one of these people that manages to stay up all night and watch baseball, especially with two young children. That's just not going to happen.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about you. How did you start getting into baseball? Like, when did you start becoming a baseball fan? How did that happen considering where you live? And then when did you start playing fantasy?
Back in the late 80s, my uncle was playing American football for our local town. It's just Tamworth, and now called Tamworth Phoenix, I think. And he got me into American football. And around that time, I just ended up watching so much NFL all that time. And then during the sort of early 90s, late 90s, I started to pick it back up. During the late 90s, I started to pick it back up again. And then when the internet came around, it was a case of I could actually keep an eye on the results a bit more rather than trying to record Channel 4 on VHS, if people remember those. And then around sort of 2008, I think it was, I was looking at some Patriots results and I was like, do you know what? I need to pick a baseball team. I may as well pick one. So at that time, I ended up picking the Red Sox and just going, that'll do. Let's pick those. And it's only until about 2013, so people might see me as a glory hunter in this sense, but 2013, I ended up going downstairs and having a sleepless night, switched on the television, and we'd got this new channel called BT Sport, which is essentially ESPN, but in the UK. And when I turned the television on, there was the Red Sox Cardinals World Series. I was like, oh, that's my team. And then from 2013, really, that's when I started watching. So I'm a relatively new fan. I'm desperately, desperately trying to catch up with all the history. And clearly there's quite a lot. But when it comes to fantasy, again, it was more of a, when the internet first came around, that's when I started playing fantasy football, as in soccer, and then shifted onto the NFL, playing fantasy football there. And this might annoy people who are desperate to get into this competition, but I probably only started playing fantasy baseball about 2 or 3 years ago. So, to hear guys come on your podcast and start talking about, you know, I've created my own projection system. It's like, come on, seriously? And I'm in a league where I have no idea who, you know, some of these players are. I'd never heard of Nomar Mazzara before this league. I was like, seriously, you've got guys doing their own projection systems and you've let me in, this reprobate who is hungover today and can't even remember his starting lineup.
Well, I did it, like I said, in the beginning because I wanted to give you and your site more of a platform and maybe a little bit more exposure, because I love what you guys do over at Flips and Nerds. So why don't you talk a little bit about how you guys got that started and what you guys do?
So my co-founder and I, so it's John McGee, who's the other guy, in 2016, we were just casually chatting on Twitter, and he said, I wonder why there's no baseball podcast or blog over in the UK. And I was like, well, let's start one. Let's go for it. So we chatted a little bit about making, we're both Red Sox fans. I say Red Sox fans, we're both very loose Red Sox fans now. The more we've got into baseball, the more we sort of spread our wings and started to look out to other teams and become a generic baseball fan. Anyway, we thought about making it purely about the Red Sox, but then started to look more about MLB and sort of making it a whole host of teams and maybe look at the games, try and encourage people to watch the games. And at the same time, we've made contact with Darius, because we've seen Darius Austin had done quite a few posts, another guy called Ben Carter, who'd also done some blogging about baseball. So we contacted those guys, got them on board, and then we started our podcast, which is in, I think it started in spring 2016. Don't go and listen to them. They are awful, the early ones. I'm pretty sure everyone says that about their podcast, but no, they were terrible. And then we've just gone from strength to strength. The website now is getting quite a good amount of views. We're getting more writers on board at the same time. So we've got about 6 or 7 writers writing for us now. And it's got to the stage, I'm sure you found this as well, where there's so many posts coming in. You're like, I can't keep up with all this. So out of the four of us, we're all trying to edit as quickly as we can and push the posts out, which is fantastic. I mean, the amount of push we've got from the UK and the writers here has been brilliant. We started last year, the MLB did Battlegrounds in the UK. I don't know if you guys saw that. Mm-hmm. It was essentially a home run derby in Hyde Park. And my co-founder arranged a meetup in London beforehand. So we had like, I don't know, 10, 15 baseball fans at a pub all chatting. And then they went off to the meetup. Since then, a bunch of guys called MLB UK Community, they've now come together and started doing these regular monthly meetups. And they are fantastic. They're getting sort of 70 to 80 people each time. It's been brilliant. I mean, that might not sound a lot to you guys, but for us in the UK, it's like we found this little tiny pocket of fans, and we're slowly building it up. So yeah, we've got some writing now going on. We've got the podcast going on. We've got huge ties with MLB UK. We have an office over here. So we've managed to get all those connections and all those handshakings done just right before the wave starting to build towards the 2019 games, which has been fantastic. It's been really, really good.
Well, that's pretty awesome, and I mean, I think people, if people in the U.S. think about it in terms of a sport like cricket, which isn't very popular at all here, imagine trying to get, you know, people together to come watch cricket in the U.S. So, you know, that's pretty impressive what you guys have kind of been able to do. I followed it when you guys did some Periscopes and things like that last year during the Home Run Derby that was going on. It's got to be pretty exciting to have this kind of event happening, you know, fairly soon after you guys have gotten going in London. So that's pretty amazing, and I hope you guys really enjoy it.
Oh, I appreciate that, really do. We appreciate everyone as well, and it's going. It's not just people in the UK who are coming to the website and getting involved as well. It's people in the US. I mean, John did a podcast recently with Evan Drellich, who met him in a coffee shop and just sat down with two of his books and went, "Yeah, there you go, take two of my books, and you know, we'll do the podcast and chat about the Red Sox for a bit." We've had the former Labour leader, which is a political party over here, Ed Miliband, be on the podcast. We've had Carlos Pena be on the podcast as well. We've been on a Colin Murray, who's a quite a popular radio presenter over here. He's got us on his Facebook Live show, and it's just been incredible. Like the whirlwind push that's happened over the last 2 years has just been brilliant. And each year I sort of get slightly merry over New Year's Eve, and I go onto our little Slack channel and I just list everything that's happened in that year. And then have a little emotional cry to myself and what we've all achieved. And then John tells... Go on.
No, go ahead, finish, please.
I was going to say, then John tells me to man up, and then we all laugh about the fact that I'm such a wimp.
And you guys are on like some sort of push right now to try to get Phil Hughes, one of my favorite Twitter people that are actually in baseball, to come on. He said you guys need 3,000 followers before he'll do it. You guys are at 2,734 followers at @batflips_nerds on Twitter. So let's help them kind of get a push over and see if we can get Phil Hughes, because I want to at least sit in on that interview.
Yeah, I think it's going to be brilliant if we get it. And that was, this is going to be an exclusive now for your podcast, but that was because I also, on the side, run the Padres UK Twitter account, which nobody knows until now. I'm a secret Padres fan, really. I do love the underdog and the absolute crap team. So, yeah, the Padres are one of my little favourites. So, yeah, I ran that and I saw that there's another Padres fan who was trying to get Phil Hughes onto his podcast. And he went, oh, I'm not going to come on there. You haven't even got that many followers. So I thought, you know what? Again, that shoot your shot. Let's go for it. So I just went onto our Backflips and Nerds account and said, how about us? And do we get extra points for being British? He then came back and said, yeah, my brother-in-law's British. And so you do get extra points, 3,000 followers and you're on. So we've got some London Series MLB, some London Series Yankees hats that we're trying to give away, but you know, trying to give away Yankees gear is quite difficult. so we're trying to push it that way. And I've just said, like a couple of times, I thought, do you know what, maybe just give the hat away and we'll try something else. But I'm like, that hat's not being given away until we get 3,000 followers. So if you want to get involved, I'm more than happy to send it worldwide. Doesn't really matter to me, but get involved. Follow us, retweet that Yankees competition, and let's see if we can get 3,000 and get Phil on there.
How do you watch baseball regularly? Because, you know, like you said, the hours don't match up largely for you. Although every once in a while there's games that go late enough, especially on the West Coast, that I'm sure you guys could probably catch early in the morning. But how do you kind of schedule being able to actually watch some baseball?
So obviously, yeah, like you say, you get the daily games, the daytime games, sorry, that are on. So obviously at the moment there's Pirates Cubs on my iPad right next to me. And this is kind of why I got into baseball quite a lot. I do enjoy watching live sports, and I used to watch a lot of cricket, a lot of cycling. But I found once I had children, I didn't want to just say to them during the day, no, I'm not dealing with you, I'm watching the sport now. So baseball's a perfect one for us because it starts about 6 p.m. in the evening, which is fantastic. So once the children are in bed, I can then go downstairs, get the iPad out and just watch it on the at-bat app. And it's great because there'll be days where I don't get any games at all. So being a secret Padres fan, I can go back and watch the recaps of the Padres, watch condensed games, try and take in as much as I can. But yeah, it's not too bad actually. With that break when there's the sort of 1 a.m. starts for us, at least then we can try and catch up on the games that we've missed from the night before. I'll watch all the recaps if I can in the morning before the children wake up. So that on the MLB app, it's all very much like 2-3 minute videos, so I can just get a quick taste of what's happened. But yeah, that's pretty much the way we do it over here. We do have BT Sport, as I said, which is like ESPN. They'll put one game on sort of 2 or 3 times a week, and it's usually like the international games for you guys when it's on Fox or Sunday Night Baseball. But yeah, that's really the only way to do it.
That's really cool, though. Would you have anything else coming down the pike that you want to kind of promote? Anything you're working on that you want to talk about?
So John's currently out in Boston. He's watching the Red Sox, and he's gone to try and watch Vlad Jr. as well. So he's out there. We've got a few podcasts coming up to do with that. We've been pushing a load of divisional podcasts recently as well. So something that the Banish to the Pen guys used to do for the NL Central, where they'd do every now and then you'd have one podcast where they just chatted NL Central. So to try and encourage more fans to come onto the pod, we've started to do these divisional podcasts. So a couple of weeks ago, we had the AL East just to start it off. We're going to get the AL West coming up soon because it's so competitive. And obviously we've got Darius, who's a Giants fan. Then you've got Ben Carter, who's part of the pod. He's a Rockies fan. So I'm going to cover the Padres. We're going to do the NL West as well. But the idea is to try and broaden our horizons, chat about different teams, try and find out, you know, what exactly is happening in the AL Central. I am not doing that podcast. Darius is doing that one because it's a dumpster fire. But yeah, we've got that coming up. There's some more meetups going on, so we pump all that information out about that. But if you want to find out what we're all about, just go to batflipsandnerds.com because we've got all our writing on there. All of our podcasts get posted there as well. Yeah, Grumpy John in the morning, or you'll get me probably somewhere down around the world not being able to sleep at all.
All right. This is the point of the podcast where I ask people if they have any advice to people who are trying to get into the fantasy industry. I know you don't specifically do fantasy stuff, but let's say there's some like international, listeners who want to try to start writing about baseball from their own country's perspective, and their, you know, maybe it's a European perspective. Maybe we have some Australian listeners or people who live in Asia or Africa or South America. What is your advice to them trying to kind of start to write and podcast about baseball?
So the phrase I used earlier of shoot your shot, just do it, just try it, try and reach out to people, try and talk to them. I'll recommend the excellent Eric Roseberry and his podcast On Baseball Writing. Mm-hmm. Just listen to that from the start of the whole subscription, because it's fantastic. And you'll notice a common theme throughout that. It's very much people saying, read a lot, write a lot. That's all you need to do. Just keep doing it over and over again. And something we're very conscious of on the podcast and the website is we want to do stuff that we enjoy. We're not changing and shaping and shifting what we do to try and suit other people. It's a case of, here's what we're writing, here's what we're podcasting about. If you want to come along and listen to it and read it, carry on. If you don't, that's fine. And that's not an arrogant stance. It's more of a, I just want to keep doing what I'm enjoying. And if it works out, it works out. If it doesn't, it doesn't. So yeah, just keep writing, keep reading. Get some favorite writers that you like, people like Jeff Sullivan, Ben Lindbergh. Go and read those guys. Go and see what they do. Don't try and copy them. If you're not funny, don't try and be funny. If you're not into analytics, don't try and write about analytics. Just do what you are comfortable doing. And eventually you'll get people coming along and listening and reading.
Yeah, that's a really good piece of advice. I tell people all the time, you've got to try to find your voice. And not worry that it may not sound like other people, because there may be an audience that has been looking for something like you. And so, and then you got to put pen to paper or you know, just talk if you're going to do the podcast version or video version. So, that's fantastic advice. Tom, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, thank you. It's been brilliant. I've really enjoyed the league. We had a bit of a chat before and had a bit of a giggle about it as well. I promise I will try and read the rules at some point this year.
It's okay. I think you're the first person I've had on that's actually in the same league as me. So I would appreciate you falling below me. And do we have a bet? I feel like you and I have some sort of bet on who finishes higher in the standings.
We did, didn't we? Wasn't it $20 to our favorite charity or something? Or was it $50? I can't remember what it was.
It's something to our favorite, or to the other person's charity. That's right. I'll have to find it. I'm sure it won't be too difficult to find it on Twitter what the bet was. So please don't read the rules, because I don't want to lose a bet. And I feel like if there's anyone I should be able to beat, it's the person who really has very little experience playing fantasy baseball and lives in a different country.
Yeah, I reckon that works to my advantage, because I don't look too deep into it. I think I just look at trends, I just look at players and go, oh, he's on hot streak, I'll try and pick him up. And I don't read anything into it. I just try and pick up when I can. So maybe my ignorance, my stupidity is helping me.
Well, I appreciate you being somewhat self-deprecating, because I've tried really hard for this portion of the podcast to not make any British jokes.
Oh, I'm disappointed. At least one. Come on, you must have something. I want an impression. That'd be even better.
Oh no, I don't do accents. That's definitely not my thing. But no, usually I make some sort of snide remark about us bailing you guys out of world wars, or
yeah, that's good.
You guys not having, you know, flavor in your food and things like that. Though I love the few times I've been to England and things like that. So it's obviously in jest, but I tried my best to stay somewhat professional throughout this.
I'm disappointed. I wanted some more ribbing.
You get plenty of, I give you plenty of it on Twitter, so people can go follow you on Twitter at Pedroia's Face. You can follow me on Twitter at Justin Mason FWFB, and then you can see our funny little banter.
Yeah, do follow us and ignore me ranting about the RAF at the moment, which seems to be my favorite thing.
Will do. Thank you for joining me, Tom.
Cheers, Justin.
That's going to do it for another episode of the Great Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Again, my name is Justin Mason. I'm the lead fantasy writer and analyst at friendsoffantasybenefits.com. You can also catch a lot of my other work over on Fantasy Alarm, FanGraphs, FanTracks, and the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You can hear me on the Sleeper and the Bus podcast multiple times a week. Also on the Friends of Fantasy Benefits baseball and football podcast multiple times a week. I want to thank Tom Pringle and Mike Gianella for coming on to the podcast. They were fantastic interviews. And again, two of my favorite people within the industry. Definitely give them both a follow at Pedroia's Face for Tom Pringle, at Mike Gianella for Mike. And then also for Tom, at @batflips_nerds for all the happenings over at Batflips and Nerds. Both tremendous guys within the industry, and you can learn a lot from them, but also be very entertained by kind of what they do on their sites and then on social media as well. Big thanks to Fantrax for hosting the Great Fantasy Baseball Invitational this year. Wouldn't be able to do a lot of what we're doing this year without them. Also, big thanks to Kenneth Cashman of rotoware.com for supplying our intro and outro music, which I love quite a bit. You can get all sorts of fantasy sports related apparel over at rotoware.com. Use the promo code FWFB for a discount at checkout. And again, thanks to everyone for coming on, and thanks to all of you for listening. This has been a really fun experiment to do this season. We're going to continue going all season long. I may switch the format down to one interview a week here soon. As fantasy football starts to kind of ramp up, it'll be a little bit more difficult for me to schedule so many interviews with all the other work I'm doing. But I will do my best to make sure I'm getting an episode out to you folks at least once a week, if not sometimes more than that, with the occasional breaks due to summer and me being a parent and having to take my kid places for summer vacations. So that is going to do it for this episode. For myself, Tom, and Mike, thank you for listening. Have a fantastic baseball season. First place in my league. Got a blockbuster on my way. And a pickup on my sleeve. They call my team insane. Say I'm the one to beat. So you better bring your A game and start playing. Cause every single week another win for me. Yo, commissioner, you can just pay me now. City win first place, then take a bow. Finish on top, I'ma set the standard. Don't believe me, you could check the standing. When I draft, I make smart selections. Got more sleepers than a narcoleptic. Meet your match, kid, my lineup's nasty. It's far-fetched, thinking you might catch me. No surprise, I'm taking home the prize. Only time I rest is a playoff bye. Make amazing finds off the waiver wire. All day and night, better stay retired. See me in first, all proud and cozy. Bro, please, I can't even count my trophies. Bragging, even with my bats are slumping, I'ma pack a punch, that tracker junkie. I'm the one they don't wanna pay. First place in my league. Got a blockbuster on my way. And a pickup on my sleeve. They call my team insane. Say I'm the one to beat. So you better bring your